I'm Ted Baker in the studios of WEOS and WHWS at the Scandling Center at Hobart and William Smith, and this is the Hobart Football Podcast for Week 5. The 4-0 Statesmen take on the Ithaca Bombers Saturday in Ithaca, joined by the head coach of the Statesmen, Kevin DeWall. Welcome back.
Thanks, Ted.
Before we talk about football, I want to talk about soccer a little bit and women's soccer. Alice Ann Wilbur picked up win number 600 yesterday, the day before we record this. My question is, how much time do you coaches have to spend together in different sports? Are you kind of stuck in your own bubble a lot, or do you get to trade ideas about motivating young athletes and running practices and building culture and those kinds of things?
Yeah, we definitely get stuck when we're in season. I don't get the chance to watch the other fall teams as much as I would love to, but on our way to practice yesterday, I popped in just to watch a little bit of the game and congratulated her on the what an unbelievable accomplishment. I was talking with a couple coaches after our practice yesterday, just saying, like, I'm not sure if people really understand and comprehend what a significant achievement that is, the 600 wins, and just how she's done it with such great class and the consistency and the level of play of her teams over the years. So she's definitely set a standard high, and we're fortunate here at Hobart William Smith that we have a great group of coaches and support staff, and we do a really, I think, a solid job of just collaborating with one another, picking ideas, and we're all pretty busy in our day-to-day lives, but when we do have those luxuries of building in that time to talk to others, it's always really good information and feedback.
One of the things she's very good at is building a culture of team togetherness, unselfishness. I do the lacrosse podcast with Greg Raymond. Same thing, he really works hard on building that culture. I mean, that's a big part of coaching, is to get guys to understand it's not how many yards you got or how many goals you scored. It's, did you do your job as part of a winning unit?
Without a doubt. And actually, a conversation I had with one of our young men on our team earlier this morning was that same situation. And just with our sport, with as many moving parts, it's the ultimate team sport. And then you think of how many factors to go into a team success. And we talk about winning your 111th on every single play, but it's so much bigger than that. And you hit the nail on the head. The secret of success are those teams that really can put the team ahead of individual, agendas. And we've been working on that. You know, I think Hobart's had a long tradition here, many years of successful teams, and we're continuing to try to build off of that culture. And there's no doubt the team is number one priority for us.
Anytime you play five quarterbacks, it's either a really good game or a really bad one. It was a good one for you, 58-14 over Keystone. You knew you were a big favorite coming in, but what I always look for in those kind of games is, do you mess around and let them stay in and let them think, hey, I have a chance, or do you put your foot down right away? And that's what you did. You took care of business right away.
Yeah, and that was our focus for the game, was to not worry about the opponent. We do this every single week, as we focus on Hobart. And did we play to our standard and our level of expectation? And even after the Keystone game, there was games there was plays that we want to focus and continue to coach off of and teach off of. But I thought our guys did do a good job against a young Keystone team that we were the better team of that night, and we made sure early on that we didn't let them kind of linger around. And the fortunate part with homecoming weekend, you know, everyone got a chance to get on the field and compete, and all in all, it was a good victory.
I was enjoying those five quarterbacks slinging the ball around. He had some pretty good arms there on the bench, don't you?
Yeah, well, like I said before, I mean, obviously David Crewson's doing a good job as our starting quarterback, but as we try to facilitate some experience and some depth at every position, a lot of those younger guys just haven't had a chance to throw it. So we didn't throw it a ton, but I wanted to get in and at least allow them the ability to get some of that game experience. And, obviously it was a heavy run game for us once the score got lopsided a little bit.
Special teams often get overlooked. It's a huge part of football. You've got big field position and possession changes in every special teams play. Your kickoff game, distance and placement and coverage were fantastic. I think they had maybe four kickoff returns that went 10 yards or fewer. That you had that unit really going well.
Yeah, we've worked on it. You know, and our kickers right now, they're getting a little bit more accurate where we want to place. And then we've spent a lot of time with the coverage unit, making sure that we know our roles, we know our responsibility. Kind of we talked about before, just that knowing your 111th and how every single person, their role fits into that ultimate scheme on that play. And, we spend a significant amount of time on special teams as much as we do on offense and defense, because it's a facet that I remember as a player playing for Coach Craig, and it's something that Hobart football has always been strong at since I've been a part of this program, and we want to make sure that we don't take any steps back there.
Toby Weffring, 35-yard field goal, and then dropped a punt out at the one. I mean, that was tiptoe. I thought for a minute that somebody had stepped in and it was going to be a touchback, but they downed it perfectly.
Yeah, there was a little bit of some good footwork there for the couple of the guys that were trying to save that ball. And, you know, that's what we work on every Wednesday is going in, and we work on the placement and how to try to pin that ball inside the 20. And we tell them it's not always – you know, we don't always need to be at the one-yard line. We just want to try to get it where, you know, we're not putting them as a touchback. That's an easy decision. But, yeah, if we can pin teams at the one, that gives our defense a long, long field to defend.
You're able to run the ball again, and that all starts up front with the offensive line. And when we talk about that line, we need to also talk about the tight ends. You haven't been throwing a lot to the tight ends, although you did have a touchdown completion. But those guys have really done well. You like that formation where you double bunch them on one side and then power run to that side.
Yeah, Mike Ciccone is he's just a quiet warrior. He is he's playing really well at this point as a captain, as a leader. His tenaciousness and just he loves blocking as much as he loves receiving. And you know, we've had him out in routes and just haven't been able to either the defensive look, the read, or just connecting with him yet. But he is a part of that offensive line group. And I say he, but we have a handful of other guys that are kind of rotating in at that tight end position. And some younger guys, as you saw, Luke Hescock had the touchdown. So he's been stepping up his play, and with the absence of Kate Sisery, who's been out with an injury. And, you know, really the offensive line, we've been able to rotate some guys through, and that group along with the tight ends. And honestly, it's just the mindset of the running backs. It's a team effort. When you run the ball, it's not just one running back. It's not just one or two linemen. It has to be everybody buying in and pulling the rope in the same direction. And we've been fortunate that we've made some strides in that area. And the good news is I think there's still some areas to improve on in that facet.
You mentioned we always talk about the rotating on the D-line, but I noticed in that game you've been doing it on the offensive line as well. About how many guys are you running in and out of that group?
Well, my first year back, you know, from my days of coaching O-line here, I believe in you got to have depth at that position. It's a physical sport. Those guys, I don't think people appreciate what goes into the production that you have to be healthy and physical up front. And, you know, my first year back, we didn't have the depth to really be able to rotate guys through. And each year now here in my third season back, we've been able to generate more and more depth. And, you know, when guys go down with an injury or just to keep guys fresh or just certain matchups, I'd like to be able to get to the point where we're rotating 8, 9, 10 guys in. And I think we're getting closer to that 8th, 9th spot, you know, so, you know, we'll see how the games go. But we run some sets where we'll bring 6, 7 offensive linemen in on any set play, too. So that's the fun part as a coordinator is just how do you create matchups? How do you put your best combination of 11 guys for that respective play and that respective game situation? And it's just another wrinkle that we can add into our offense is add in some of those all linemen.
And then the same thing on defense. I mean, it's just this herd of guys. I mean, you take out Emmett Ford, the Liberty League Player of the Year. You'd love to have him in there, but even without him, it's just all 11 guys and numbers 12 through 18 making plays too.
That's what's really neat. And we thought about it coming out of preseason that our defense had the ability to be pretty deep this year, and it showed true. You know, that side of the ball has been hit a little bit harder with some of the injuries. You know, obviously you mentioned Emmett. He's a difference maker when he's out there, and his presence has been missed significantly. But it's also given us the good fortune of having some younger guys show up and get some quality experience as we head now into league play. And, you know, we also played Saturday without Brian Aguilar, he's been playing at a really high level. So, I don't want to say any names because I'd be missing so many guys that have stepped up, but there's been a handful of guys on defense that have either had to adjust their position, adjust their role. It's forced Coach Green and Coach Fleischacker to be able to be more adaptive and try to, you know, put the right players in the right positions. And I think in the long run, it will help us as we look to finish the season strong. You know, just the ability of gaining some experience with those younger guys.
That's a good example of guys putting the team over themselves. You got Shane White was a fullback. Some years you've used fullbacks in your offense, other years you don't so much, so he moves over to defensive end. You got Jay McCoy, who's been in the secondary, moved up to a linebacker spot when you had the need there. I mean, it's great to have a team where you can go say, okay, I need you to play a new position this week, and somebody just says, okay.
Without a doubt. I guess it goes down to our DNA. When we recruit guys, we're looking for athleticism, versatility, and coachability. And you put all those together. You know, Shane was a guy that was, you know, performing well at the fullback position. We had a need at D-line, and it gave him an opportunity to be on the field more and more regularly and help the team. And I think that's how we make decisions is twofold. What's going to help the team the most? And then where are they going to have a chance to maybe have a larger role, either on offensive, defensive, special teams? And, you know, there's been a handful of guys over the years that have made those moves, and they've been, most of the time, those moves have helped both the team and that young man get on the field at a more regular pace. So, yeah, Jay McCoy is a good, really good example of, and it just shows his versatility. You know, he brings some athleticism to that outside linebacker, and he's still able to perform well on special teams, and he was flying all over the field on Saturday, which was great to see.
And also, part of it's your defensive scheme, where there's not really that much difference between the outside linebackers and the secondary. It's almost kind of the same role.
And it goes back to how we teach it. A lot of those skill sets, like, well, we're asking linebackers and corners and safeties to do a lot of the same things. So when we teach them, they're teaching them the technique, learning it, and then we're trying to master those techniques. And that's what gives us the versatility as we move forward to maybe throw in some more multiple defensive packages against, you know, if we're going to face teams that spread it more. We're going to face teams that run it more. And I don't think just one defense is the answer. And that's one of the things when I took over as the head coach and just kind of continue to develop and adapt our defense was to make it so that we can still run our base stuff but now have some wrinkles against different teams and adding in that versatility. And I think it's starting to really pay off here each year. It looks like we're getting a little bit stronger on that side of the ball.
Here we go into Ithaca. We all know the history, but a lot of these guys haven't. I mean, they're young guys, maybe played there once, if at all. Do you try to emphasize that at all and say, look, this is, you know, this is the last thing on our bucket list. We've never won in this place. Let's get it.
You know, we talked about it just so that, you know, they heard it from me, not from everyone else. Everyone's going to make a big deal about it, but the answer is, like, we didn't play Ithaca a lot in the last 20 years when Hobart football has been consistently a top team. So, you know, obviously there is a tradition there. There is a reality to it. But even myself, as long as I've been around this program, I've only coached and played at Ithaca a couple times. You know, so I think that's built off of the past and the tradition. And obviously we know we're a strong team. We know they're a strong team. We expect it to be a really strong game in that capacity. But a lot of our guys weren't on our team the last time we played there or have never played there. And we're talking about guys that have played a significant amount of time with us that weren't able to play in that 2019 game. So, yeah, yes, it's a reality, but honestly, for our guys, the focus is on us. Can we play to our standard? Everyone's 0-0 in our conference, and it looks like our based off the non-conference schedule, there's really a handful of strong teams in the Liberty Conference. So this is our first conference opponent. It doesn't matter who we're playing. We're going to go out and try to play up to the Hobart standard and the Hobart way.
You're the most penalized team in the league. That's not what we expect out of Hobart football. What do you see that needs fixing there?
Yeah, and I think that a combination. There was the St. John Fisher game really kind of led to some of those stats. We talked about it. We addressed it. We have to clean that up. You know, discipline's a huge part of our team, and I think we have strong discipline in some other areas. But those penalties will come back to bite us in the butt if we're not taking care of that. So, part of that also comes from, like I said, there was a couple of the 15-yard penalties that were, you know, questionable in some of the games, but we can't put ourselves in those capacities to allow the officials to dictate those calls, and we'll never point fingers at it. But it comes back to our decision-making. We're going to play fast. We're going to play aggressive. So with that comes some penalties. We understand that, but I absolutely think we can do a better job, and we'll need to move forward on that.
When I look at one factor in this game, I think I look at your running game, that if you can run the ball, you'll be in the game. If you can't, it might be a tough afternoon. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, their defense is very strong. I think the two teams that in the conference that have shown that it's been tough to score against, and there's a handful of them right now, I think the defenses in our conferences are going to be really strong. I think Hobart's defense and Ithaca's defense, through their respective start of their seasons, have both shown the ability to play fast, and I think that's the key. Both defenses are fast and aggressive defenses. They cause turnovers. They cause those negative plays, which are tougher to sustain drives. And I think there's no doubt for us that they're coming in. Having that bye week, 2 weeks to prepare for us is significant. You know, that helped in 2019 when we played our first conference opponent at Union. They had 2 weeks to prepare for us. And any coach that says that isn't an advantage is their nose is growing like Pinocchio, because it definitely helps. So there's no doubt they've had a chance to rest. They've had 2 weeks to focus on us. They're going to have a very strong game plan ready to go against us. And we're going to need to make sure that that's been the strong point of our offense so far, is running the ball, so we know that they're going to focus on it. But I also think, like I said, in some of the games we haven't had to throw to the capacity that we know we can. And it's a we're evolving. And I think we took a step forward on Saturday, and there's no doubt we'll need to do the same thing this upcoming weekend.
When you play Ithaca, you're always going to get a good quarterback. Their quarterback's 73%, 74%. He has been picked a few times. That's one thing. He's thrown four interceptions. But just talk about shutting down their passing game.
Yeah, they're equally talented on offense. Big, strong offensive linemen. I mean, they're huge. They're going to be one of the larger O-lines that we're going to face. And then they're strong at most of the skill positions. But their quarterback play, he gets the ball out pretty quickly, you know, so he kind of limits the amount of times you're going to be near him or be able to get hits on him. And they have some really good speed at the receiver position. And I think that's what they're trying to do, is just get the ball in their athletes' hands, their quickness and their speed. And teams haven't been able to tackle very well, or they've been able to make some guys miss. And, you know, with 2 weeks, knowing that they're going to throw the kitchen sink at us on all three phases, and you know, we just got to make sure that we're strong, we're disciplined, and try to do our best to rally to the ball with their speed, and we're going to have to tackle well. That'll be a huge part in the game, I think, on both sides, is, you know, who's a more consistent tackling team.
It seems like in some of these losses to Ithaca, what happens is some huge play early, you fumble at your own three or a blocked punt or something, and the momentum just goes against you. Is there anything as a coach you can do or say to your team about keeping poise in a hostile situation if things don't start out the way you want?
Yeah, I think of the 2018 game. I mean, that came down to – that was a one-play game either way. And I think the 2019 game would have been very similar. You know, we go down, and if we score right before half, we had some opportunities, and then, you know, we end up missing a field goal. That's a 7-7, 7-3 game at halftime, and just a couple bounces here or there, and, you know, fumbled the opening kickoff, and all of a sudden now it's, you know, we're in a deficit. So I think anyone that watched that game knows the teams were closer in talent. You know, sometimes we've been on both sides of that, where the game, the score doesn't necessarily dictate how the game played it out. But this game, I expect it to be, you know, when you go down to Ithaca, they try to make it a very hostile environment. And I think our guys are excited for the opportunity to show that we've progressed as a team. You know, we're not the same team as 2019, and obviously Ithaca's not. So what happened in the past, and you talked about the history of Hobart playing Ithaca in the past, that's reality. But it's the first time we're going to be playing in 2021. So let's just see where everyone's 0-0 in conference, and I think our guys will be fired up to play, and I think we'll be at a situation that will handle some of those adverse opportunities in those games better than we've done in the past.
Do you see this as a game where maybe 14 or 17 points would win?
It's a great question. I think as good as both defenses are, I wouldn't be surprised if those defenses on either side can create some turnovers and some negative plays. I also think both offenses have some really talented offensive players. So you never know how the flow of the game is going to go. It's a couple special team plays, a couple short fields. I think if they're long fields to defend, I think the advantages are for the defenses. So which team can kind of create those opportunities to get either offense a short field will be pretty significant, not only early in the game, but to sustain those points later in the game.
We mentioned during the broadcast last week, we saw a lot more razzle-dazzle out of offensive coordinator Kevin DeWall than we have out of head coach Kevin DeWall. You got anything in the back pocket for Saturday?
There's the back pockets are always full. It's just a matter of when is the right time and what we need to do. And I think a large part of that comes from as we mature as an offense, as we gain some confidence, the more razzle can come with the dazzle. So, hopefully each week we're going to add some new things to keep defenses honest. But fundamentally, it's going to come down to who can block the best up front and who can tackle.
All right, number 21 Statesman at Ithaca Saturday at 1. Best of luck, Coach.
Thank you, Ted. Appreciate it.
This is our Hobart Football Podcast. I'm Ted Baker with the head coach of the Statesman, Kevin DeWall. Join us again next time. Subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts and rate us and review us on Apple Podcasts. Get your Hobart news throughout the day. Follow the Statesman on Twitter, at Hobart Football, on Instagram, at Hobart Football, and, of course, HWSAthletics.com, the official website of Hobart and William Smith Sports. Until next time, thanks for listening. Have a great football day.